celebrating 30 years on Utah's airwaves. Western Life Radio thanks you for joining us around the campfire and for your ongoing support to Utah's longest-running home, garden, travel, and outdoor adventure program. You can always join us on our online campsite at westernliferadio.com.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
When carrying a firearm, always treat it as if it were loaded. Always keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you're ready to fire. Never let your muzzle point at anything you're not willing to destroy. And always be sure of your target, its environment, and any other safety hazards. This announcement's been brought to you by TaylorGunsmithing.com.
Discover the magic within Utah State Parks with an annual State Parks Pass. From boating and fishing to hiking, camping, and off-highway vehicle adventures, Utah State Parks offers a wide variety of activities in the great outdoors. An annual State Park Pass opens the gate to year-round adventures at an amazing price. The annual State Park Pass provides day-use access for you and your family. In addition, Utah State Parks opens the gate to cultural and historical parks where you can learn more about Utah's rich heritage. And don't forget to reserve your favorite campsites year-round with options in teepees, yurts, and hammocks in addition to the standard tent and RV options. Visit the trailhead for more information at stateparks.utah.gov.
I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year. And while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Faster Utah is proactive about school safety. For more information, fasterutah.org.
There's nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. And if this winter that includes ice fishing, you're in luck. Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment. When it's cold outside, that's the time to come in and see what's hot inside. At Sportsman's Warehouse, Utah born, Utah proud, serving you since 1986, Sportsman's Warehouse, the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors.
Play safe on the water. In Utah, youth 12 to 17 must pass an approved safety class prior to operating personal watercraft on Utah waters. Classes are offered statewide. Register now or get more information by calling 801-538-BOAT. Visit stateparks.utah.gov. This message brought to you by the Utah State Parks Boating Program.
Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Camping in the mountains, fishing in a stream. The great outdoors is where you want to be.
Grover joins us in the garden once again with Utah's Best Gardening. Thank you so much for taking a few minutes with us.
Well, thank you for having me. Gardening is near and dear to my heart, and I think it's near and dear to most people's hearts, even when they don't know it. Most people are happier when they're gardening.
You're not kidding. I am one of those guys myself, and we're in November already. Anything else that we should be looking at as far as late season care, anything we need to do for fruit trees? Anything else we need to do for our landscaping plants?
With your perennials, generally you're going to start cutting them down now. And again, because of the warm fall, some of them may still be blossoming. You really want to wait until they've browned out. Not just turned yellow, but browned out. Now, when you see people do it, like at where I work, a lot of times they'll get taken out sooner because nobody is confident that they can leave a daylily that's turning yellow out there without somebody panicking. It's got to look brilliant all the time. Well, not really, but whatever. The other thing, too, is since we've got a fair amount of flower bed space, my gal that's in charge of that, she's like, if I'm going to weed this time of year, I'm also going to prune things down because I don't know when I'll get back to it. So the answer is it's okay to trim them down now, but if you can let them actually turn brown first, you'll do better.
As far as pruning rose bushes, as far as any other pruning of the major trees, do we wait? Do we do any pruning now to prevent damage to the home or anything else?
Damage to the home is always difficult because if you're having to prune something because it's going to damage a home, generally you're already too late, but it's early in the season for it. So that's going to be an individual case by case. How much damage is this going to do between now and, say, January or February? January or February would be a better time. Now, I've got a limb on a redbud at work that has decided to go out and stick in the roadway, and I'm probably going to go take that off. Hopefully I'll get to it this week because somebody's going to hit it with a car. So I'm just going to save myself the trouble of having to deal with one that's damaged by a car. I'm going to take that out, case-by-case basis. Generally speaking, this is not my favorite time to prune trees. A lot of trees are still losing their leaves, and really, that's just not a great time to go pruning your trees. A homeowner, unless they have a lot of trees, can start in January and get done with all their pruning fairly easily. Certainly anyone on a quarter acre should be able to handle that in that time period if they know what they're doing at all. So hold off on your tree pruning. Your roses, the evaluation for roses is the sucker going to break with a heavy snow load? Are we going to have a heavy snow load? This year is up for grabs. So there may be other weather patterns. There may be effects that a global warming are having. It's going to be a tough year to predict, and you're going to have to look at things and say, do I think this plant can handle the load? And if you're like me and you tend to have a light hand on pruning, mostly because I get to be on top of it on my own place, I will tend to err in favor of, I'll prune a little bit later. When I'm doing stuff for a client, or back in the days when I was healthy enough to do that, joints are going bad. Don't get old, folks. I would have to make a judgment accordingly because I would get into a lot of stuff that hadn't been touched in years and possibly decades. And then sometimes you have to say, okay, can it take another year? I don't think so. And you go in and you do what you can because it may be another decade before they call somebody in to help them.
Get it done if you can, when you can.
And again, people who are listening to this for gardening advice are usually going to be on top of that, and so they, in theory, shouldn't need to do anything. Those folks who are listening that are here more for excellent tips on duck hunting and whatnot that maybe aren't as good at keeping up with their garden, that may be different. And be aware and just keep in mind what your yard has been through, where it's at, and what's happened. And of all things, just don't overdo it this time of year. If you feel like you have to do something, you have to do something. If you've got a break or if you've got a dead limb, go ahead, cut it out. It's already broken. You're going to have a better reaction by having a good, clean prune than leaving a break that will sit there for 6 months. If you got something dead, that's always free game to take out. But you've got to get to know your plants. And, yeah, I'm going to be one of those silly tree hugger people. You got to have a relationship with your plant, folks.
Leaves are still certainly falling here. You got to keep those cleaned up. You want to make sure you get those as much cleaned up as you can before snow starts settling on top of them.
This is going to be a bone of contention with a lot of people on leaves. Leaves can offer benefits. They can offer benefits. But a lot depends on where they are and what you're doing with them. Now, recently there's been one of the big publishers online that's done a meme about leaving leaves in place on your lawn. And some things they say are true. They ignore some other things. On your lawn, I really do like to pull the leaves off because I want air moving across my lawn so I don't get fungus problems.
Makes sense.
On my lawn. Now, if I have a flower bed, a perennial flower bed or a perennial shrub bed, I don't care as much. The leaves will affect the way water moves through that area. So that is a concern that they could get matted down and block water. I don't typically have that problem, but that's going to depend a lot on what you've got for leaves. I've got a maple, used to have a walnut. Those aren't going to be an issue so much, but there might be trees that are that I haven't worked with. In a commercial setting, again, like I work in, I take the leaves off because somebody will complain about them if I don't. And if I don't take them off, they'll also tend to blow around a bit. And again, that's property dependent. But it's okay not to have a pristine. You really just don't need to have a lawn that is totally kept up. You can have an unkempt lawn or an unkempt yard, and it's not necessarily a bad thing during the winter. Now, what I've been doing, since we're on the subject of leaves, I put out a note on Facebook to my neighborhood that I've been looking for bags of leaves, and I got 20 bags already. I've got another 5 across the street and some other people in the neighborhood that want to give me some. I've got so many leaves right now, I'm not going to keep up. And I've got myself, my wife actually bought me an early Christmas present of an electric leaf shredder. And so I am going to take those leaves, I'm going to shred them. I've got my compost bins about full, and I'm going to start on filling up my shrub beds and my perennial beds and everything with leaves, because the plants I want, my perennial plants that come back year to year, are just going to push those leaves in the spring. They'll be shredded. They'll be easier to break down. And then, to me, that's just going to be my mulch for next year to keep weeds under control and to recycle nutrients. I'm a pro-leaf guy, and I'm not a pro-tidiness guy. Of course, I have to, at my job, keep things tidy. So when I come home, do I want to keep things tidy? No.
Not as much.
I don't want to keep things tidy. I want to make things as easy as I can. Even though the shredding leaves take some time and energy, in some beds I think I'll use whole leaves just to cut down on time and effort, or maybe I'll mix it half and half, I don't know yet. But those leaves are just rich in nutrients. They've got a little bit of nitrogen, but they've got everything else that plant is going to need to create a leaf, because that's what's in them, literally leaf material. So to me, that stuff is like gold, and the people wanting to get rid of it baffles me. It truly confuses me.
We certainly like to mulch mow and put those things right back into it. They don't have to carry the bags off the lawn even. Puts it right back in where it came from and cleans it up, prevents that matting down of the grass, and keeps the mildew issues, the mold issues, from being an issue. and just breaks it down nice and fine back into the soil where it belongs.
Yeah, I'm really a big fan of mulch mowing, and that's one thing I'm going to try and institute where I work. My boss wasn't, my old boss. I get to make that decision now, and so I'm going to do my best to mulch mow. Over the wintertime, I've got to take my manuals apart and see what the setup needs to be on this machine. I suspect the mulching feature, whatever was on that, was discarded at one point. I think it's just going to be a cover over the outlet, and so I'll just take my bag off, make a new cover for it, and I'll be in mulch mowing business for next year. So it's really a good time to upgrade your equipment. And I know somebody's going to tell me, well, you should only use official manufactured parts, or at least something that's designed for it. That's like, yeah, but I'm going to have a hard time replacing that on this machine. If possible, to do it fairly simply, I will make a part, and I will be really, really happy with the ability to do that. That's just sometimes what happens. But that mulch mowing is really, really great. Because what happens is when you're doing a lawn, for a normal lawn without a lot of traffic, you are going to need maybe 2 pounds of nitrogen per 1,000 square feet per year. If you are using any combined product for weed control with a fertilizer, that would be either your broadleaf killer or your pre-emergent. Just putting those two down alone gives you about that much fertilizer. If you have a highly trafficked area, you push that up to about 5 pounds a year. And if you look at your IFA four-step or really any comparable system, it's going to put down 4 to 5 pounds a year. And the reason for that is that these companies that are doing the fertilizer want you to come back and buy their product. And if you get all 5 pounds, that's the best fertilization you can get for a bad lawn that's actually going to be effective. Any more than that really is questionable whether it's going to do anything. And so they formulate their system for that, because then everyone's happy. And most people end up wasting at least half that fertilizer. So if you are doing a mulch mowing and you do your first two fertilizations, then you can actually skip your fertilizer until fall and put down a light application of nitrogen, and you're probably going to do just fine. And you'll be running 2.5 to 3 pounds then on average. I mean, each of these systems is tweaked a little bit differently, but just a general rule of thumb, you can come down, do a light fertilization in late September, early October, and then you're set. And you're down to 3 fertilizations a year, one of those very light. With the ones containing herbicides, you have to put them down at the rate on the package, so you don't have a choice in that. Unfortunately, we have moved more and more and more towards combined treatments. I personally don't like them, but unless you've got extra equipment, it starts getting a lot harder to just do it easy and cheap. So most people are going to go buy a program, or they'll make their own program, which ends up being the same as a program. And by the way, IFA, I use that as an example because everyone knows them. I can go down to Great Basin and get about the same products or probably a little bit cheaper. So if you've got a Great Basin, there's one in Orem, there's one in, I don't think it's in Draper, but it's just over the line. I forget which city it's in. And then there's, of course, one up in J&J. I don't know what there is further south, but most people along the Wasatch Front probably have access to a Great Basin. You go there for commercial product. That is where commercial people buy their stuff. I've priced it out, and if I had tried commercially to go with IFA, we would have gone broke. Same stuff. I mean, there's micro differences. In fact, the stuff I was getting from Great Basin, the first two applications were about the same as IFA, and that had my pre-emergent and my broadleaf about the same for quality. But the stuff I was getting for Great Basin for my second and third, and actually I was doing it 6 applications a year, so I skimped on some of those to do the full 6, which I needed because I spot sprayed the weeds later in the year, so that's really the only reason I needed to be there 6 times a year. But the stuff I was getting from Great Basin was actually better than anything you can buy at IFA. And I know an IFA dealer will hear this and I'll hear about it, but it is. So keep that in mind. The 4-step programs have a lot of good marketing, but you can buy products that are not listed in the 4-step that do the same thing, do it at least as well, if not better. Just keep that in mind.
Could save you a few dollars, too.
Could save you a few dollars, and going into one of these specialist stores, not everyone there is an expert, but when I talked to my salesperson at Great Basin, that was a man that was educated. We didn't always have the same viewpoints on certain things, but he had run 2 lawn companies and sold them to a big national company, and he specialized in fertilization and weed control. That guy knew his business, and he knew what I needed to do to get a professional lawn. And you will not find that quality for a homeowner at IFA. I like IFA, but I also know they do a lot of other things. And when you go to a place like Great Basin, they do one thing very well.
Shameless plug, where are they located? How do you find them? I know that you don't see a lot of advertising for them.
They are going for the commercial, and you're not going to get the commercial guys by advertising.
So where do people find them?
We've got them in Orem. Just Google Great Basin Turf Products, and you'll get the same thing I'm looking at. You've got it in West Jordan, and it's just a little bit north of Draper. You got them in Layton, which is up by J&J. And I am not seeing any other locations. There might be, but I don't think so. It looks like those 3 locations, but just do yourself a favor. In fact, I know a county extension agent. He's not in the same way full time. He doesn't always see the latest and greatest because the salesman comes and talks to him about it. But he'll actually go into Great Basin and he'll peruse the shelf. And by what's on the shelves, he knows what progress has been made and what changes there are. And with a place that's focusing on commercial growers or commercial maintenance people, they tend to shy away from the stuff that's older and doesn't necessarily work as well. And that's why their late season fertilizers are so good, is they've got the top-notch technology they're using. It's a controlled release, which is the step up from slow release. So traditionally you'd have a sulfur coated slow release. It would slow the fertilizer down for about 2.5 months ish. But you'd also get a certain point where you'd start rushing in because you coat the urea to just slow it down. The newer stuff is a polymer coating that breaks down at a different rate, very consistent, very even, very level. And so you can go from those 2.5 months to 3 or 4 months. And those are really the top-notch products for your fertilization for your lawn, because if you use a straight urea, and urea is the most common fertilizer used for lawns today, most fertilization is done with some sort of urea. And if you use that straight, it'll shoot into the lawn, and you'll see a result in 1 to 2 days. And then a month later, your lawn's going to be yellow. It will have shot through everything. Half of that stuff or more will just leach into the groundwater or leach further into the ground where the grass can't get it. And so you definitely want a product that's got a slow release. If you're going to use straight urea, you have to go at a lighter rate and more applications per year. So this is a lot of nitty-gritty tricks of the trade. And I remember I had a buddy, and he was just oohing and aahing over one particular lawn at a homeowners association, different houses. This guy would fertilize his own lawn. And he talked to him and said, oh, I'm just using urea. And he used urea. It snapped green really, really, really quickly. And then 2 weeks later, he was about back down to standard, and maybe 3 weeks. But even after that, it could actually get a little bit worse than some of the other stuff just because it's a letdown effect. Not always all the case, but sometimes it just doesn't have the staying power. So, again, if you can get something that's listed as a controlled release, that's going to be your top-notch fertilizer for turf. If you can get a slow release, that's pretty good. And then anything else is going to be fairly quick. Depending on your application and the type of urea, you can have a bit of a slower reaction. But again, I don't want to use straight urea without any coating just because it's so fast. If that's great when I have to do six applications a year, that's fine. But I don't want to go there if I can avoid it.
If that's the case, better wait till spring and reduce the amount you're going to pop on there. And then, I guess, just spread it out, like you're saying, if you have to do it manually.
The urea you get, I just think there's better options, especially for a homeowner. The granular is going to get you a better fertilizer. Now, the unfortunate thing is if you're doing weed control, a liquid is better for weed control than a granular. And that's why I don't like combining products, is by getting the right dose for your weed control, you get too much fertilizer. And by using a granular that's with your fertilizer, you get poor weed control. That's just the way it is, and that's a very unfortunate thing because we're looking for the simple solution, and we would rather go out and just spread a product six times a year than to spread fertilizer three times a year and do a major weed control two times a year. We're kind of lazy that way as human beings.
Very good information. And while we're talking about fertilizer, I know we're also coming into the winter season. It's not quite there yet, but it's getting towards that area where we'll have to control snow and ice on our sidewalks. A lot of people do use fertilizer for those applications to help melt it. Salt in and of itself is kind of bad for our lawns and our gardens and our flower beds and those things.
Now, this is a struggle. Your best snow and ice melt is sodium chloride, table salt. And people get it. They'll either get water softener salt or they'll get rock salt. And that's the salt we're primarily talking about. And it is going to be your best control. It is really, really rough on your soil. Now, a lot of people will go, aha, I will use urea or fertilizer. Again, most of it's urea. And I will cheat the system and I will not damage my plants in that soil. Okay, I got it. You're right. But you know, so I said that. You will not damage the plants, at least not as much. But what happens to all that nitrogen? It goes into the groundwater. Now, probably 30 years ago now, the Morton Thiokol Company had a location down by Spanish Fork Canyon, down in your neck of the woods. They could trace the leaking of the rocket fuel by the greenery it caused as it leached down towards the lake. You could visually see it from the air where that leak ran. So you think about that and you think, oh yeah, green plant, that's great, that's wonderful, that's excellent. Yeah, but that's the nitrogen that got pulled out of the soil. There's still nitrogen in the soil down where plants can't use it and where it goes into the groundwater. So now, as I say this, I have got a ice melt that has urea in it. It's basically fertilizer that's just been prettied up and made finer for application on the sidewalk. And that's okay. I put that where my wife is most likely to use it, my daughter's most likely to use it. And I ask them, please just don't use a lot, which usually ends up not working. But if you really, really, really want to not damage your soil and your plants, make your best choice on ice melt. When I go buy ice melt, I'll usually get it at IFA because they have variety. They also have ingredients. and I will look for something usually that's got a magnesium on it or a calcium chloride salt. Now, this will still damage things, but it won't damage it as much as sodium chloride. It will also not melt as well as sodium chloride. And I rely on my shovel, and then I use the ice melt only when I need the ice melt. At work, I don't have that option. They expect things to be 100% clear and 100% safe. I deliver a crap load of salt into the Great Salt Lake, folks. And that's the reality. At home, I have the option. I am in control. I shovel well. I use minimal ice melt, and I don't have dead plants.
Does make a difference. And it's a little harder to find those types of salts that are not as damaging as others.
I think I finally had to go online for this other stuff I got here at the house when I got here 5 years ago. That's how much ice melt I use. It's like maybe a 5-pound container. But I had to get online to see what the ingredient was, and it was urea. And that's okay, but don't rely on the chemical when you can rely on a little bit of muscle, or an electric snowblower is not a bad option if you can afford one. And then use that to keep ice from building up in areas that might be problematic or areas that got trampled before you could actually shovel them. But use the minimum, and then you won't have to worry about dead stuff or contaminating huge swaths of area that you can track with a drone. Not the drones existed back then when that leak happened, but they did aerial reconnaissance, and it was very clear they could follow exactly where that nitrogen was going. Don't be that guy. And again, I go with salts, and all salts are going to be damaging, and urea is a salt, but I go with salts that are less damaging, that are going to have less of an impact. And at work, I'm very careful on my spreading, but I've got a crew of about 24 guys that I'll supervise through winter operations, and I'm not going to be there when they're all there because we have 4 different shifts. They're going to spread what they spread, and I have to deal with it later. And that's not optimal, but that's life. That's what I got. So you got to do what you got to do.
You said you found yours online. Where do you recommend people look?
I found the ingredients for mine online. Again, the package was actually here when I moved into the house. And so I don't even remember what brand it is. It's labeled as pet friendly or pet safe, which I don't know if urea is really pet safe, but that's what it is. And so, and I hate doing this, if you go to Home Depot or Lowe's or Walmart, if they even carry it, and you look at the ingredients, some of them will say sodium chloride, and some of them will say almost nothing. So really, you have to look at the ingredients, and we've all got our pocket computers these days, right? We've got our cell phone. You go out there, you look up the brand. If it does not have ingredients on it, you get on your cell phone, you look for it until you find ingredients. And if you don't find ingredients, I'm kind of skeptical of whether I want to even buy it. That's why I like to go to IFA. I can go in there and... Last time I bought it was a long time ago. They've actually got a new building that they're in, so I don't know where the sign is, but it used to hang right over their 2 registers there in the old American Fork store. And I'd look. The stuff I've got has got 10% sodium chloride in it, if I remember right. It might be 20. The rest is, I want to say it was magnesium chloride. It might be calcium. It's been years. It's before I moved to this place, and I've been here for 5.5 years, so... That's how fast I go through the stuff. I got plenty outside. I won't be replacing it for another 7 years at the earliest. There's not a lot of good answers for this because, again, you go into Home Depot, most of those products do not tell you what's in it. They don't tell you. And that bothers me. That bothers me a lot, but that's the way it is.
All right, then. Let's take a quick break. Be back in a few minutes. When we return, we'll head out to the tool shed and take care of those tools for winter. Stick around, more fun is on the way here on Western Life Radio.
connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
If you would like a little more from your range experience than standing and shooting holes in paper, come and train with us, taylorgunsmithing.com.
Explore the universe from one of Utah's dark sky parks. With more than 14 state park destinations to choose from, your family can gaze at the Milky Way, watch the moonrise, or make a wish during a meteor shower. With the right telescope, you can find nearby planets, tour distant galaxies, or capture the heavens with your own deep space photography. Your adventure begins with a camping reservation and a clear view to the darkened skies. Launch your epic nighttime adventure at stateparks.utah.gov.
Don't let your next family outing end in tragedy. Don't drink and ride. Driving an OHV under the influence of alcohol is no different than driving your car under the influence of alcohol. Law enforcement officers will be out checking riders and operators of OHVs. You could end up seeing jail time, loss of driver's license, the same stiff penalties that apply to operating a car. This message is from the Utah Division of Parks and Recreation. Ride responsibly.
Be prepared at home this winter season. Keep an emergency supply kit easily available that includes a battery-powered radio with extra batteries, canned food, and a manual can opener. Keep readily available some flashlights and battery-powered lamps, fuel for generators, and extra wood for the fireplace. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
Put on your helmet. Let's go.
But, Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet, too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
Choose your adventure. With 46 state parks and an impressive list of recreational opportunities,
yes, bass fishing at Sand Hall State Park.
Visitors might have a hard time choosing what to do each weekend.
Woo! Windsurfing at Deer Creek State Park.
Choose your adventure. Explore Utah and create memories at Utah State Parks. For campground reservations, ideas for your next adventure, or to purchase an annual pass, stop by stateparks.utah.gov.
For the latest snowmobile grooming reports and current snowmobile conditions throughout the state, check out www.snowut.com. Grooming schedules are posted and conditions and snow depths are updated weekly. There is also a link to the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center so you can get all of your snowmobile information in one spot. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
There's nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. And if this winter that includes ice fishing, you're in luck. Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment. When it's cold outside, that's the time to come in and see what's hot inside. At Sportsman's Warehouse, Utah born, Utah proud, serving you since 1986, Sportsman's Warehouse, the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors.
Ricky, my man.
Hey, headed out on the lake, I see. These fish aren't gonna catch themselves, am I right? Got some brewskis from my broski.
No, thank you. That's illegal.
What? Come on, aren't you the guy that wrestled the buffalo on Antelope Island?
First of all, they're called bison, and I was delivering a breech calf.
Wow, come on, man. I'll trade you this sixer of suds for that life jacket.
A real man always wears his life vest. And he never partakes of alcohol while operating a boat. Everyone knows that.
Not everybody does.
Everybody knows that.
You got me.
When you look at the number of disasters in the U.S., chances are every area will deal with some kind of emergency in the next decade. And between school, sports, and social lives, chances are you won't be with your kids when it happens. Will they know what to do? Ready.gov/kids has the educational tools and information to make the conversation easy. When the time comes, chances are they'll feel prepared, not scared. So talk with your family today.
Now back to Western Life Radio with your host, Brian Brinkerhoff.
Welcome back to Western Life Radio. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff, host of this program. We have Mr. Alex Grover with us with Utah's Best Gardening. As we are wrapping up the garden, it's also time to wrap up our tools, take care of things. You want to take care of the handles. You want to make sure that you don't have a bunch of wet dirt and stuff on your shovel handles and your hoe handles and your rakes. Proper care will ensure next spring you have the tools you need and the condition you need.
Now, we've gone over this in years past, and I've been thinking about it a lot. I, a lot of times, don't get to my tools because I'm using them right up until the snow flies. And then it's like, oh, I've got snow around here. I've got to do these tools, and things just don't get done. The things you have to worry about is get your dirt cleaned off. Scrape off the big chunks. Get your dirt cleaned off. If it's warm enough and you can dry it out properly, wash it off, that's fine. Again, a lot of times right up until the ice. I've got a tree, I've got a plant out there right now. That tells you where I'm at. But get the dirt off, and that will keep moisture from collecting. That means moisture collecting on your handle, but also on your blade, your tool parts. If you can, I like giving the handles a nice coating. I tend to use linseed oil, but if you've got some Danish oil or something that you use for a project that's left over, use it. It'll give your tool handles a really nice color. But that'll keep the wood from getting dried out, any parts that got worn out, or that if you had to sand a burr out of it or something, it'll cover those and protect them to make the handle last longer. Then take some steel wool, clean the rust off of your blades, and then treat them with the linseed oil or the Danish oil as well. You can use varnish if you want. I usually have linseed oil or Danish oil, so that's what I use. That will protect those from getting rusty. Now, in our environment in Utah, we have a lot less humidity, so we have a lot less of a rust problem. So don't kick yourself if you don't get it done this year. I certainly don't get mine done every year. You might. The busiest man in radio's got lots of time to take care of his tools. hardest working man in radio. But yeah, don't kick yourself as long as tools are clean. Putting that treatment on the handle and on the blade, if possible, will extend the life of your tools, particularly with the rust. There's always somebody that's got their own way of treating things, as long as it's long-term stable. It's like WD-40 was designed for repelling water. Maybe that works for you. I've never tried it, but maybe you wipe down your tools with that and it's fine. I don't know. Does it work long-term? Great, use it. I'm not going to tell you not to.
As far as the mowers and the other tools, weed eaters, little care on that side will certainly help too.
Classically, you drain the fuel out or you run the engine until it's done. I debate on this because I'm the long-haired hippie in my neighborhood, right? And I don't like introducing those fumes, especially into a place where we have winter inversion. I don't want to be breathing my mower exhaust from just burning out the fuel in the tank. And honestly, most years I don't empty mine out and I don't have problems. That isn't to say I put it to bed with a full tank. There are fuel stabilizers you can run through there and keep the fuel in there and be reasonably secure. But I've probably got a gallon or two of gas out there in my can right now, and I'm not going to just chuck that. And the thing is generally I can run it, and it's okay. So your best thing is to use it up as much as you can so you don't have any in the tank. Or if you're going to run it, that you'll have very little to burn off, because you really don't want to do that. And late in the season, I will be very cautious in how much fuel I get. But I also use it through the season because I do a lot of chainsaw work typically this time of year-ish, well, January-ish. And so I'm not leaving this in for 6 months necessarily. So again, by the book, don't have it in there, but my experience has been most modern equipment does okay with it, as long as you haven't got like a stinking tank full. Then again, I've also got equipment at work that's been in storage for a couple of years and hasn't been used. I'm trying to restart that no matter what the conditions, a pain in the tush. So I've got an empty tank on it, and I'll be darned if I can get that pull cord to work right. So, oh well. I'm feeling really long-haired hippie this year. I know. I'm not giving classical answers.
That's okay. Great stuff. Again, where do they find you one more time?
On Facebook, it's Utah's Best Gardening. On YouTube, it's Grow How.
Mr. Alex Grover with Utah's Best Gardening, thank you so much for taking time with us. We wish you all the best this Thanksgiving season. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, and to everyone in Radio Land, happy Thanksgiving, and this is the time to get ready for next year. Enjoy it.
Let your next family outing end in tragedy. Don't drink and ride. Driving an OHV under the influence of alcohol is no different than driving your car under the influence of alcohol. Law enforcement officers will be out checking riders and operators of OHVs. You could end up seeing jail time, loss of driver's license, the same stiff penalties that apply to operating a car. This message is from the Utah Division of Parks and Recreation. Ride responsibly.
Add some wood smoke flavor to your holiday bird. We're starting with pheasant next on Western Life Radio.
Hi, I'm Governor Spencer Cox. We live in an incredible state, and this time of year, my family and I, we love to ride. Unfortunately, we've had too many fatalities this year. And while safety equipment is critical, it's not enough. Remember to always be aware of your surroundings and never ride beyond your capabilities. We want to make sure that you make it home safe. And never forget, nobody is invincible.
Nothing beats a smoked pheasant or turkey. Brant Taylor, with Taylor Gunsmithing, gives us a taste.
The pheasant doesn't have nearly as much fat, so it doesn't take nearly as long to cook it. But chicken or turkey that you get from the store, they have lots of fat, so they take some extra time. And the other trick that I like to use is put a can of apple beer inside the cavity of the bird, the chicken or the turkey, while I cook that. Drink half of it and put the rest in there and let it cook. We have our own barbecue rub that we made from my wife's grandpa's recipe. We tweaked it a little bit. And that's about the only seasoning we ever use on meat anymore. And put it in, and I've got some plum wood that I like to smoke with. Any of your fruit woods are really good. Apple is a really, really mellow flavored smoke. I've used that lately on some pork and stuff. It works really good on chicken. But I've got a supply of plum wood that I like to use. Hickory is always good. Pecan is some of my favorite also. Plum wood is quite similar to apple. Pecan is fairly sweet like the plum. I really like using that pecan a lot. And hickory, if you're going to do bacon or something, that's the way to go. It does really well with pork. A pheasant only takes 2/3 of the time. It's the same process.
Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff. Connect with the world through Rise Broadband and stay in touch with all things important to you and your family. Known as the number one fixed wireless internet provider in the United States, Rise Broadband will keep you connected with work, school, shopping, and entertainment. Whether you live in a suburban or rural area, Rise helps keep you and your family connected with the people and things that you value most. Rise Broadband offers flexible packages designed to meet your budget so you can enjoy all your favorite music and movies with fast, reliable, in-home Wi-Fi. Stream your favorite shows, play the hottest games without buffering, and stay in touch with family and friends. Get more for less with Rise Broadband. To check availability in your area, visit risebroadband.com or call 844-411-RISE.
For the latest snowmobile grooming reports and current snowmobile conditions throughout the state, check out www.snowut.com. Grooming schedules are posted and conditions and snow depths are updated weekly. There's also a link to the Utah Avalanche Forecast Center so you can get all of your snowmobile information in one spot. This message is brought to you by Utah State Parks OHV Education.
Be prepared at home this winter season. Keep an emergency supply kit easily available that includes a battery-powered radio with extra batteries, canned food, and a manual can opener. Keep readily available some flashlights and battery-powered lamps, fuel for generators, and extra wood for the fireplace. These winter safety tips are brought to you by FEMA, the Region 8 Youth Preparedness Council, this station, and Western Life Radio.
Let's go.
But Mom, when will I be old enough so I don't have to wear my helmet? When will I become invincible just like you?
Sweetie, I'm not invincible. I need my helmet too. Anyone can get hurt, no matter how old they are.
Be responsible and set an example when you ride. Accidents do happen. Please remember, nobody is invincible.
There's nothing quite like the great outdoors, and at Sportsman's Warehouse, we share your passion for hunting, fishing, and camping. If you want to feel at one with nature, this is the place to gear up. And if this winter that includes ice fishing, you're in luck. Sportsman's Warehouse has a terrific selection of all the latest equipment. When it's cold outside, that's the time to come in and see what's hot inside. At Sportsman's Warehouse, Utah born, Utah proud, serving you since 1986, Sportsman's Warehouse, the great indoors for those that love the great outdoors.
He's leading the way along the back roads less traveled, exploring the woodlands, the red rocks and streams. He's sharing his campfire from season to season, new places and people with stories and dreams. Through cadence of nature, the wilderness beckons. A song of the mountains rings out through the trees. The voice of the backcountry echoes forever. It carries the message, live wild and free. Wild and free. The song of the mountains is calling to me. Wild and free. In the great western wildlands, discover the backcountry dream.
Folks,
folks, you've been listening to Western Life Radio, a 30-year outdoor and Western lifestyle tradition. Thanks for joining us. May all your days be filled with new adventures. I'm Brian Brinkerhoff.